Well, hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Pulse Podcast Season 2. I'm your host, Dr. Maida Afan, and today I'm very excited to be talking to our guest today, Julia Walsh. She is the CEO of Brand Medicine International and author of a book called What We Really Ask Dr. Google, Healthcare Insights in the Digital Age. So this topic really excites me as I'm also from the marketing background. Welcome to the podcast, Julia, first of all.
Lovely to be here with you and very excited to be able to speak on my favorite topic, which is understanding the digital search experience of our patients and our healthcare professional stakeholders.
Absolutely. And it's such a buzzword, right? Data, insights, health tech, marketing, now more than ever. But, you know, before we dive deeper into that, tell me a little bit about your background, about your company, what you do.
So my background is as a research scientist originally, and I worked with the CSIRO here in Australia. And I realized over time that being locked away in the lab with things that are, you know, molecular and chemotoxic or radioactive or neurotoxic was probably not the long-term plan for me. So I actually ended up moving into healthcare communications, where I couldn't believe that, you know, the interaction of science and art in the way that we bring messages about scientific content to people across all different segments of the population. So I worked in healthcare comms in agencies here in Sydney, Australia, through to New York, working on global teams as well, with many of my clients based out of Europe over 25 years or so. One of the things I always wondered as we developed websites and launched them online is what actually happens once those assets are put up there, and how well are these digital assets connecting in and being utilized by our end stakeholders? So one of the ways we can measure success of a website is like looking at that back-end traffic and where are people going on it and what kind of files are they downloading. I guess in the real world, that's only just the tip of the iceberg. So the genesis of this business, Brand Medicine International, was really about trying to understand the digital information experience through the lens of our stakeholders. So what is actually happening when people are searching for health advice online and they're exchanging their questions for guidance on what to do next? And the reason why I'm passionate about this is because if you think about the scale of healthcare questions that are being asked every single day, it's estimated there's over 1 billion questions entered into Google alone. And so if you ladder that up, the fact that the information received is guiding people's opinions on these topics, that's going to propel their behavior. And that is most certainly going to be having an impact on the broader healthcare ecosystem. So my business is really about guiding clients and helping them to understand what is going on in this digital landscape, who's driving the narrative, and how can we clean up the internet for patients to make sure that misinformation isn't being served into the wrong hands.
Excellent. Fantastic. And I think you touched upon so many important points. You touched upon misinformation, which is, you know, we're really living in this era of an infodemic where I think there's just this flood of information, more so after the pandemic. And it's really becoming, I think, harder for patients to navigate through that sort of environment and access accurate and reliable information. I think that's so important. But, you know, having said that, all this buzz about AI being the future of healthcare. So, you know, where there's AI, there's data. Where there's data, there's insights. And I think it's such a powerful tool for people like you and me, where we can use these insights to help patients reach accurate and reliable information. And so I wanted to ask you, you know, how important do you think it is to use technology and to improve to help not only like healthcare delivery, but then also again, patients in health communications and access that sort of information?
I mean, you touched on a really good point, Maida, because everything is literally changing. Like the ground is moving as we're standing on it. So the philosophy of approaching digital strategy for me was about search listening optimization. So taking SEO and evolving it to a point where we remove the search engine being the heart of our digital strategy and put the end user at the heart of our digital strategy. And where we're moving to next is like search chat optimization. We are entering a whole new frontier in the digital information landscape. Everything is changing whether we like it or not. And I'm actually running a workshop with a group of thought leaders here in Australia at the end of next week to unpack the implications for this. Because it's one thing to go, well, let's like try and describe the landscape as it looks like right now, but it's moving so fast, it's almost impossible to describe. What we need to do is figure out what's our plan to make sure that we continue to turn up for our patient stakeholders with the right kind of information online, because the AI is driving a real fast transformation of this. I don't know if you've had new Bing pushed upon you, but I have. And so it turns a search query that is then responded to with a menu of ranked websites into a conversation. And before we know it, people are going to be having that conversation verbally, just walking down the street with their earpods in, just chatting about their health issues. Oh, I've got this symptom, and what do you think that could be, and how can I do that? What's the best medicine for that? And if we're not mindful, we are not going to have a seat at the table, because, you know, we don't know where this information has been scraped from. We don't know the cutoff dates of things. It's just going to be constantly changing. So it's definitely an exciting time, but it is kind of constantly changing, and it's very hard to control it.
No, absolutely. And just to expand on that, I was going through your profile, and we had this conversation earlier, and I want you to tell me more about the hashtag search listening health. And I know that it uses big search data. Again, you mentioned, you know, keeping the end user at the core of your experience. I think, again, patient communication, patient education, health literacy, I think these are some very important focus points moving forward, especially in this technology, fast-paced sort of environment. So how do you use that, and how do you develop a data-driven strategy that actually works?
Yes. Well, I think what's really exciting about when I bring the analysis, like a search listening health analysis, to clients is that they are able to see the conversation that's been had around their brands and in their categories from a completely fresh perspective. My philosophy is that search often happens upstream of social. So when we have a niggling symptom, we don't necessarily jump into a social group and go, what do you think this is? We go to Google first. And the reason why search data offers us such a rich resource of insights is that it's anonymized, it's aggregated. People are asking these questions in the middle of the night when they're catastrophizing about a diagnosis, or they're worried about a niggling symptom and they can't get to sleep, or they're unsure about an interaction that they might have had with a medicine when they drank alcohol before they went to bed. So we see all of these queries, and it really provides us a rich tapestry of what's really been sought to be understood. Where that kind of can take us is in a new way to develop content that resonates with them authentically, turning up where and when they actually need us to. So that's kind of, I guess, the philosophy of search listening health is listening to search. I feel that as an industry, we've gravitated towards social listening very quickly, and we've adopted that, and that's, you know, quite commonplace across a lot of brand teams, is to be listening into the social conversation. And that certainly has value. It's just hard to action against that. And so search listening provides us those upstream insights that we can actually action against with our digital strategy, and then intercept a poor search experience or a poor digital information experience with the right kind of content. We can request that Google deprioritize misinformation. We can work with other publishers that have high domain authority to make sure that their information's up to date. I did an analysis for a client in the US recently, and we found that from the top websites that people are going to, some of the content was from 2004.
Yeah.
Nearly 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And when you click on it, it's actually really hard to read as a patient. When mm-hmm. you talk about health literacy, someone with low health literacy, they're not going to try and digest a clinical paper. And we know that as comms experts. But how come the internet, like what we're doing as comms experts, is not translating into being delivered to those people who need it? So you can actually work with those kind of publishers and say, hey, by the way, you've got this content. It's really great. It's turning up very prominently mm-hmm. in this category. It's really driving the narrative, but it's not up to date. So here's the information that could make it up to date. And you can ask those authors or those editors to go back in and republish that link so mm-hmm. that in future you're changing, you know, and updating the information that's available. So that's kind of the premise of Search Listening Health. It has a lot of applications across digital strategy, but also our offline strategy. So if we know the kind of information people go online to seek, like, can I crush this tablet? We can make sure that we get that information into their hands at those other touch points when the doctor's prescribing it or the pharmacist is dispensing it or on the packaging, so mm-hmm. that we can stop them going to the internet to ask that question. And we can prevent them from going down these digital rabbit holes where they might be, you know, misguided with a bad review or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing you know, you've got primary non-adherence. Yeah. All this work you've done to get that product in that patient's hands, they won't take it.
No, absolutely. And I think, again, it all boils down to meeting the patients on their patient journey at each sort of touch point of care. Right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. But then again, because one of the initial touch points is, of course, Google and social media and just online. Most of my time goes into educating my clients, because I think that healthcare has sort of always been late to adopt, you know, newer trends and newer approaches and newer methodologies. And I get it, because healthcare is unique and it has its unique challenges. There's a lot of guardrails, a lot of red tape mm-hmm. that people have to be mindful of. But considering, again, the evolving consumer behavior and the consumerization of healthcare, like you said, and it's so because now patients are in the driving seat, and that's never been, it's never been like that before, right? It's the patient-provider relationship has been very transactional for the most part. And now that patients sort of have all this information, they want to be in control, right? They have this information, they want to make more informed decisions. And so, you know, but since it's constantly evolving, this pace is so fast-paced, and you have to be ahead of the game, you have to be on your toes. There's so many trends that are you know, upcoming. And then, do you think it's, for instance, ChatGPT, right? There was ChatGPT, yeah. Now GPT-4. I don't know how much you used it. I have fairly, but I wanted to ask you, how do you keep up with everything as a health, you know, being in health communications? And then also, do you think these trends are important? Do you think they're just gonna sort of wear off? And do you think it's just safer to stick to fundamental marketing principles instead?
I think that we cannot afford to put our head in the sand and ignore this. When we map the digital landscape, we can see the consequences of our delay to evolve and align with search behavior. The empowered patient is here to stay. Dr. Google has now moved from being a virtual member of every multidisciplinary team, whether we like it or not, to a central confidant and advisor to patients in the form of the chat conversation that's been had. One of the big things that I bring into my work is understanding the stages of grief as people grapple with a symptom or a diagnosis. And we see the emotions that they have at these different stages really influencing the way they respond to content. And the new Bing, as an example, you know, you can tell them about something that's happened to you from a health point of view, and it will start out with, oh, I'm really sorry to hear that. And then go into very conversational, easy to digest, relatable, you know, bit of advice, and then finish up with, I hope everything goes okay, little emoticon, you know, like,
yeah.
This is very enticing for patients. And I believe the shift across from being served a menu of websites where they're already feeling mentally overwhelmed mm-hmm. by just, oh my God, am I going to die? What does this mean? Mm-hmm. Am I not going to be able to drink again? Am I not going to be able to have children? Am I not going to be able to work? Like, people really do catastrophize. And there's a lot of emotions around the way they search for information in their health. I see that in the types of questions they enter into search engines. Those questions written in those ways, put into the chat, are just going to bind the relationship so tightly because of the kind of response that they get. So their mental load is reduced from having to go, oh, which of these websites, they're just going to be able to read something and they're going to be able to continue a conversation to clarify something they didn't understand or seek to understand their next question. So back to your question, like, what should we do? I think we have a responsibility very much so to continue to play in this field, continue to try and do our very best to understand it. And the companies that do are going to be the ones that win, the ones that are connecting with and influencing their stakeholders in the right way. And I don't want to actually say influencing. It's more so turning up where and when they need you to with the information that
absolutely
actually need. I feel like there's almost a possibility of going right to the end of this and going, we can actually integrate search and sales and make search our responsive top of funnel entry point into our sales conversations or our medical information dialogue. Because when a doctor, and doctors Google too, when they search for information, they start with a question, not a URL. And at that moment that they've been triggered to ask that question, they have a need right in front of them. It's unlikely that they're going home at nighttime after 10 hours in the clinic to suddenly Google your brand.
Yeah.
They're doing it because they've got someone in front of them and they want to know what dose to start on or how frequently to give that dose, or can it be combined with this other therapy, or is it better for this kind of disease than that, like anxiety versus depression or LDL versus, you know, HDL. So we see these questions being asked, and you know, I think we have a real responsibility to find a way to turn up and enter that conversation. What it means for industry as a whole is that there's a whole bunch of learning that needs to be done. What's reassuring is we're all in the same boat. You know, we all don't know what we don't know, and we're all beginners. And I think in the past, what industry has leaned towards doing is hiring people from mainstream, you know, from banking or tourism or fast-moving consumer goods, and bringing them into pharma to give us digital strategy advice. I actually think at this point in time, given the rate of change and the level of change, we're much better off to train our own people. So we're building our people stack in a way that we've got a foundation of knowledge, of understanding of health literacy, understanding of the patient journey, understanding of the regulatory environment, a network of relationships whereby if we need to lobby for change or influence legislation around this, we have a starting point. And then we build our digital skills on top of that. I think we've been too quick to almost throw away our own people and replace them with outsiders who then don't understand the health landscape. And I think that's a mistake. And I think everything's changing all over again. Is SEO dead? Maybe, you know? Yeah. So what does the new landscape look like? Well, I think we've just sort of got to all put aside time every week to continue to learn. And to your point about how do I do that, that's what we do. I had a conversation with my director of analytics and innovation today about, you know, what do we need to start focusing on from an R&D point of view so that we're staying, you know, we're staying relevant with our services in this space.
No, absolutely. I'm loving where this conversation is headed. I am on board with everything you just said. But it was really interesting when you mentioned the patient's emotional state when they're searching for information. I didn't really think about it before you said that. And yes, doctors do Google. So just a very funny story. Yesterday, I had a dentist appointment. And so I had a tooth, one of my molars was bugging me. And he just said, he checked me, you know, he examined me. And then he just said, well, we're just going to have a tooth extraction, like right now.
Oh, my goodness. You need notice for that.
I wasn't prepared. He's like, oh, no, it's just, you know, it won't take that long. And and I'm a clinician. I'm a doctor. I'm not a dentist, but then I'm a physician. And so I know the basics of dentistry. But I wasn't prepared for this. And doctors are the worst patients. And so I scrambled for Google. And I was like, oh, my God, what is this? And then what do I do? And
so he's away getting the anesthetic ready and you're on Google.
Yes. And that's what it was. I had to get my x-rays done. And then I was on Google and I was like, you know, what do I expect? And what do I do? And so he told me that there was going to be a local anesthetic and everything else. But then again, because I was in that sort of state of fear and I didn't expect that he would say it would be like right here, right now.
Yeah,
think the way how receptive I was to the information, I wanted to find answers that sort of, you know, match sort of my mind state at that time. And I think it was when you said it, I was like, oh, my God. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Yeah. Because also a lot of the information online was not accurate. You know,
100%. And when you're in that state of mind and you're presented with a menu of websites, a little bit of blue half sentence, half sentence in black, and it's not answering your specific question, you start to freeze even more. Mm-hmm. And then you're frantically going, and a lot of people, what they will do is if they don't get that answer that they want on page one, they'll go back and ask the question a different way, which is why our share of SERPs analysis or search engine result pages, where we look at the digital share of voice across a category, we feel pretty confident that we are really getting the websites that are driving the narrative on this category. Mm-hmm. And you can see the big digital disconnect between what people are specifically asking and the information that's being served to them. Often the answers are not there. And the other side of it, a complete lack of empathy and a complete a lack of understanding of how that person's feeling when they're searching for that information. And it's not personalized to you. Mm-hmm. It's like it's been written like, here's our content.
This is a structure.
Yeah. And if you entered that into ChatGPT on your phone, you would get a conversational style answer that scraped and gathered all of the information that you would have otherwise had to click one by one on these websites. Mm-hmm. And that's why I believe that as far as this has happened for all intents and purposes. This has happened. This is here now. Mm-hmm. It's happened in a heartbeat. It's not going to go back. And we're not ready for it as an industry, but patients are going to love it.
Yeah.
And because if you had got an answer from ChatGPT in that moment, you would have at least felt like you had some context, you had someone on your side. And maybe armed with the right questions that when that, orthodontic surgeon comes back in the room, you're able to say, well, what does this mean? Am I going to be missing a tooth forever? Like, are you going to replace it today? You would have had the questions that you needed.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not like I didn't ask him. You know, I did. I'm like, can you walk me through the procedure? And, you know, and he's like, oh, well, don't worry about it. You know, and I think doctors also, I think it's unfair to place as a clinician, and I know how busy the clinicians can get. I think it's unfair to place the entire onus on the doctor's shoulders. And yes, health counseling is important and communication is very, very important. But I think it's just, again, it's unfair to just place all the burden and all the responsibility on their shoulders. But, you know, I guess we could go back and forth on this all day. We're almost at time. And I think, I think you've provided valuable, valuable insights. Just one more thing before we leave is, you know, I still think there's a large proportion of healthcare professionals that are skeptical, maybe unsure of using technology, maybe even are scared of it. Patients, I think they are, you know, more in tune with technology just because they use it for other purposes as well. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to know your opinion or your thoughts on why it's important to, like you said, you know, we have to train people from our own community. And they are basically who go on to become advocates and ambassadors. And I wanted to know, what is your thought process on that? Why is it so important? I know why it's important to have clinicians at the forefront of product development, marketing, and communications. Why do you think it's important to have advocates from our own community?
I think because of that base knowledge, like, you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Just because the digital landscape has changed doesn't mean that we throw away our senior digital strategy execs within pharma and replace mm-hmm. them with other people that we feel may know more. It definitely needs to be a blended approach. Yeah. And I think just having a culture of learning, a culture of it's okay to not know, a culture of trial and mm-hmm. error, making it safe to ask questions in mm-hmm. this space. Because it's very easy for everyone to think that everybody knows and I'm the only person who doesn't know and nobody'd ask a question. And what we're doing when we do that is we're failing patients. And we're not only failing patients, we're failing their physicians that are also online and seeking this information. Because Absolutely. By not turning up with the information on dosing or storage that's accurate, those healthcare professionals are not feeling armed with the right information. And they've got their own emotional moments when they're searching for that. I don't know if you've ever been there with a patient in front of you and you're looking up like, is this patient with severe asthma over this age eligible for whatever it might be that you want to give them? Mm-hmm. And you can start to feel flustered if you're not able to quickly get that answer at your fingertips. Mm-hmm. And so finding a way to turn up in those answers is going to be, that's the magic bullet that we're looking mm-hmm. for as an industry. We do not know right now how to do that. But that's what my workshop at the end of next week is aiming to do. We'll have a white paper. One of the attendees, Dr. Stephen Harra, he's from our Digital Health Cooperative Research Centre here in Australia. He just wrote a paper published in The Lancet last week on exactly this topic. So he'll be contributing to this conversation. And our goal is to give industry a roadmap of how to navigate these changing waters.
Fantastic. I think, I mean, all the best to you. I think you're doing amazing, amazing things. It was such a treat to talk to you.
Thank you for inviting me. Such a lovely opportunity to get to meet you in person.
Yeah, in person. No, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Julia, for your time and for everyone else who is tuning in. Until next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.